Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It can't be easy. It can't be easy. You're up 6-0. And it comes down to 2-on in the top of the ninth. And you got to get Brian Abreu to finally get the out. The strike was nice. Holy crap. That's just too much, Lance. It's just too much. And he's got to go across an inning again.
I know.
I like Eniel De Los Santos because he's come in and gotten some big strikeouts, but he also gives up some big hits.
Oh yeah, it's a roller coaster ride with him.
Yeah.
It's a roller coaster ride. He has been very good, and I won't say very bad, but he's been not good. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And yesterday was one of those cases for sure. And it almost, I mean, I couldn't believe, you know, that was really big because you're potentially vanquishing if the Mariners keep doing what the Mariners doing and Cal Raleigh hits 70 home runs, you are potentially vanquishing your competitor. Truly competitors, it's the Guardians and the Rangers, but this is just such a big series against the Rangers.
Oh, this week is... I don't remember we've had a week like
that. No,
last year at the end of the season.
Yeah, last year at the end of the season. But this is a big one because you got two that are directly... You know, this is the one that could knock you out of the playoffs. Yep. Like, you know, this is one where you couldn't afford to... You really couldn't afford to lose. You couldn't afford to get swept. You really couldn't afford to lose. You could afford to lose 2 out of 3, but it'd make it tough. But now, man, you got a little breathing room.
Yeah, it's been nice these last two nights. The offense has come alive. Holy crap, nice.
Need to get rid of Yordan. Get Yordan out of the lineup, and you can finally start scoring, even though he hit all the time.
Just get Zach Cole in there, and you're going to be fine. Yiner's come up with some huge hit. Even Altuve got a hit last night.
Yeah, and an RBI.
Yeah, I mean, holy crap. Even Altuve just started the game right with Pena and Correa. That was nice. And then, you know, just started chugging along and put up a six spot. This is over. It's all great. Holy crap.
Yeah.
And then Eniel comes in. Oh, by the way, you need to apologize to that caller that said you should just stick with football. AJ Blue Ball.
I'm not apologizing for being the first one on Blue Ball talking about how impressive he looked.
Seven strikeouts.
I think
he must
have called the Killer Bees or something and had an argument and forgot. I was on Blue Ball, so I don't even talk about Ricky or whatever his name is. I don't even know who he's arguing with. He's like, that's like arguing with me. Oh, Lance, I was the one that said that Carson Schwechter was going to be good. Wait, I said that. I'm the one that said that. Yeah, I said it harder. Okay, whatever. We're getting too far in the weeds. You had to have been listening at a very particular two-minute clip yesterday.
I think you said that. Lake and Tomlinson would be good. And boy.
No, I didn't say that.
I said he'd be average.
And he is.
I remember it. And here you are now.
Wait a minute. I just saw a highlight of Seattle and Las Vegas where somebody from Seattle made a big three and then did the Sam Cassell wheelbarrow celebration. How does that work in the WNBA?
No one knows. No one knows what that means.
How does the wheel... Say it on the air, Dell. How does the wheelbarrow celebration work in the WNBA, John?
I don't know. What is the wheelbarrow
Yeah. I saw that in WNBA. I'm like, woo! Oh. That is a bold celebration.
All right.
That's me being ADD. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I can't have things flash in front of
my eyes. I'm going to put this out there right now. You're only 2.5 games behind the Tigers. The Astros are going to be – they're going to get the 2 seed, and they're going to be watching the wild card round. I'm putting that out there.
Well, here's what it looks like. Here's what it looks like. New York is number one. The Astros now are the second wild card. They have been.
I'm not even talking about the wild card. I'm talking about not even being in the wild card, having the second best record in the league.
You're talking about passing Seattle?
Passing Seattle and passing the Yankees and passing the Tigers.
How are you passing Seattle?
What do you mean? You play them this week.
How are you passing them? They've won 10 in a row.
Yeah, well, when they come here,
you're not going to pass them. They haven't lost in September.
It's all right. That's all right.
You're not passing them.
They're due.
They're 10-0 in their last 10.
Yeah, that's great. And they picked up 4 games on you. That's great. That's great.
I mean, we're only a half game behind. Yeah. So in theory, I'm not sure what pitching is going to do.
You can't pass a team that's a half game in front of you.
I mean, we're literally having to pitch Colton Gordon and Blue Ball and Jared Murphy and
Murray, by the way, looked great again last night. Like I said, they should have started him.
I mean, we literally are throwing guys who haven't even – I don't even know if they're eligible to even be on a playoff roster, half these guys. Dustin Strample, Clurm, Hamper, Andrew Blueball, Jared Murphy, Jaden Jammerstein, and then Hunter Brown and Fromber.
Well, that's all right. Hunter Brown carries
it's about what it looks like right now. And Jason Alexander.
Yeah.
Rush, get to Adele, hurry. Why is it so loud? Why is it so distorted? It's so loud. Why can't the Foo Fighters just be potted down?
It's a rock song.
It's in the middle of the, it starts slow and then builds up.
I know, but they could have just, it could have been potted down.
It's called something. I don't know.
Now he's being a jerk.
You know what?
At the very end, he was a jerk.
Yeah.
This is what you need. You know when you lose all the ground in, all your ground that you had made up, that you had a 5-game lead, you know when you lost it? Here's who was pitching for you. Javier, Garcia, McCullers. Oh. This is when, Eric Geddy. This is when you lost your mojo and lost your lead. Yep. You know when you get it back? Johnson, Jameson Murphy, and Alexander Blueball, and all these other guys.
Yeah. Well, no, it's true. I mean, you were 20 games over 500, your high water mark, back after right around that Dodger when you crushed the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
You're 6 games under 500 since then. And it's in large part because you got your guys back, your pitchers back. It's the truth.
Well, no, you weren't playing well before you got him back. It's just Seattle couldn't win. When you lost, Seattle lost. Now Seattle can't lose.
Oh, they can lose. Watch.
Well, I just don't know what it looks like in September.
Yeah, well, they're playing Kansas City. When they come here, when they catch a bit of this offense.
Well, you're bold after watching the Astros bullpen almost blow 2 in a row.
I know.
I mean, golly.
Man, the bullpen.
I was cruising. You know, I didn't even know they hit the 4 spot in the 8th. I was like 6-0.
Well,
I'm going to finish turning point. Yeah. And then, I checked the phone, what? 6-5?
What the shnikes? Yeah. Yeah.
That's not fair.
And by the way,
can we just play 8? And can games just go 8? We would be so much better if they just went 8.
Yeah. And then we lost Yordan for the rest of the regular season. Just an FYI to everybody. Just an FYI. Yep, done for the rest of the
year. I can't even get mad. I mean, it's not like the medical staff screwed up. It's just Yordan just gets hurt all the time.
Oh. I mean, that ankle twisted. So
hand, bad. Hand, ankle, knee. He's had, it's been, I think that's his. I feel like there's another one, too. Hand, ankle, no.
Both knees.
Hand, ankle, knee, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I feel like there was another one, too, but that we're forgetting. And he's going to want $40 million a year. Well, he's under contract now.
They did his deal.
For how much longer, though?
Oh, for another 4 years.
Okay. You're good. Well, I guess we'll just have to wait that out.
No. You're good. Yeah. What do you mean wait that out? You got four years. And
I don't know if he's going to play.
And with the Astros, 4 years is an eternity.
I just don't know if he's going to play.
Well, yeah, he is. Yeah, I mean, why?
You don't either. Not realistically, you don't know if he's going to play.
I know. All I know is the Astros, I mean, this was the biggest series that they've played since the last series of last year.
It was a big one.
Without a doubt, the two biggest wins that they've had. Because you were on the precipice of being out of the playoffs. And you came up with two huge wins.
You're a big underdog.
So we got to give them their props. While we're talking all Texans football yesterday, our Astros took care of business, bang. And they take care of business, bang.
The Astros, give them credit for what?
Winning games at home against
teams that have to win.
This is where we are now?
Well, yeah. For now, yeah.
What are you talking about? When was the last time they won a big home series?
They've been who cares? You won World Series. I got to rank them by big home series.
But this is a different year.
You threw away this division. You may still bring it back because you have the Mariners, but you threw this away.
Well, so, Del, have you not heard? It's
too.
Not what happens when you get knocked down. It's how you get up. Have you never heard of that before?
I've heard it before.
Yeah.
When they got up last year and wound up in the wild card round, how'd that go?
That's like you saying, well, but Tua was really good 2 years ago.
I don't do that, do I? I don't do that.
And then you're like, oh, I wish we had the good old days of the Dolphins almost winning a playoff game.
You
should celebrate because you never celebrate playoff wins.
Why should
you celebrate every little
Why? Because you live a life where you celebrate the mediocre? I should do that too.
We're celebrating getting to the party. Too.
Congratulations. Yeah.
We're trying to get to the party and then all bets are off. All bets are off.
Congratulations. Once celebrating averageness.
Zach
I don't know.
Cole
some of us have higher standards, but I've been telling everyone you're the Wash King. So as the show depreciates, so does your level of celebrating good things. The Astros are gonna hopefully make the playoffs, but they threw away this division in August and September.
We celebrate life here.
So Zach Cole is eligible for the postseason, by the way.
He is?
Yes.
Well, maybe because Jordan
Chandler Rome made that point yesterday. He said Zach Cole would be eligible for a postseason roster. Players only have to be in the organization by September 1st to be eligible.
Oh, on the 40-man?
In the organization,
In the organization. He just started.
I don't know what you're talking about.
He said to be on the 40-man before the.
I'm just telling you, he will be postseason eligible. This is in Sports Illustrated 5 days ago. Given the fact that he'll be postseason eligible, he'll have the chance to contribute to Houston. He's postseason eligible, so it's saying it in multiple places. So,
well, I thought you had to be up with the big team, but maybe not. Okay,
I guess not. But I just know that Zach Cole is. And I started typing this in. I said, "Is Zach Cole eligible?" And it finished with for the Hall of Fame.
Uh-huh.
Now,
yes.
He's
not. He's not eligible.
He's
got to be
played
for
6 games and that's actually filling that out in Google. Are people searching for this?
Yes, whether
Is
not,
Astros Twitter searching for this?
If anyone is thinking Zach Cole should be in the Hall of Fame now, he's not eligible yet.
Yeah, he's not eligible yet. Now, he can play in the playoffs. He cannot get into the Hall of Fame yet.
Okay.
No matter how many clutch hits he gets.
Right.
If his OPS is 1,200 this year.
Oh, you laugh. That dude is clutch. And then he's not even in the lineup. I mean, come on, Joe. Oh, yeah, he was. I'm sorry.
What a weird year. You know what?
That's right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's been an up-and-down season. It hasn't been the best Astro season. There hasn't really been any momentum. But all you want to do is just get to the party. That's all you want. I'm just cheering for them. Just get to the party. It was a good, despite what Dell's trying to wet blanket us, that was a good win. You had to beat this team. You're keeping them out of the playoff hunt. You got to win this. You got it's a must-win game, and you did. Don't let wet blanket Dell try to throw a sack of wet poo on you.
I expect them to make the playoffs. I'm not celebrating this. They're doing what they're supposed to.
You don't get
applauded for coming back from the brink when you waltzed out.
Yeah,
on
you
the
do.
Ledge.
It's not how you get knocked down. It's how you get back up.
Del, I heard you say that already. Thank
Del,
you.
Celebrate small. That's life. Celebrate small wins in life. Like when you said something smart the other day
I didn't celebrate it because
it's par for the course. Much like I expect the Astros to make the playoffs all the time, so I'm not celebrating wins against the Rangers in September. I didn't celebrate it because I say stuff like that all the time. You guys are just too dopey to acknowledge
We acknowledged you said it, and then we acknowledged it was said. Yeah. And then we said, hey, that's a good one. What about this one?
I don't know.
Fret when you get knocked down. How you handle adversity in life that defines your character. Houston Astros.
Thank you for that. Yeah. Thank you for that.
My dad told me that years ago.
Put it up someplace for them to see it?
Put it up in the locker room and then you touch it before you go out,
like a college football team.
Yeah.
Okay.
Listen, the guys were embattled and they fought back.
That's right.
And they won two huge games.
They've had millions of injuries, and they fought their asses off.
This team has never won a championship.
Yes, you're right. The 2025 team has never won
this
a championship.
This team has never won.
You're correct.
That's right.
There's a lot of new guys on this team.
Here's the other thing, Dell. We don't just sit on our laurels like the 72 Dolphins.
What?
Yeah. We're out there trying to actually win every year. Yeah, we don't just drink champagne when somebody loses their first game of the year.
How can the 72 Dolphins win this year? What are you talking about?
Every year they celebrate when other people lose. Your organization, like you guys, Dolphins fans, like, what about 72 Dolphins? They're undefeated.
Have I ever said that?
They were the classic. Your own guys are still alive or celebrating it every year.
I thought this was an argument about my perspective. Have I ever said that?
You have a Mercury
Morris jersey.
Your
entire fan base celebrates every time somebody loses.
You've never seen me wear Dolphins gear ever, but I have a Mercury Morris jersey. Okay.
Yeah. Probably framed.
I wasn't even
Zonka.
Alive.
Yeah.
I saw Dell with his Zonka jersey.
Earl Morrill.
Don't get mad at me because you have a Chris Brown, the running back jersey in your closet.
I love that. Love that jersey.
Chris Brown, the running back. The kicker.
Chris Brown, the passer. That interception he threw was awesome. We got a break.
Chris Brown's are kind of notorious.
3776. I don't know about you, but watching the game last night, it was a Coors Light kind of night for me. I hope it was a Coors Light kind of night for you. I love me some Coors Light. I hope you do too. No matter what you're doing, listen, we got a bunch of games. It starts again tomorrow night. Thursday night football, Friday night football, Saturday football, Sunday football, Monday football, Coors Light. Now, it doesn't have to be just football. It can be a celebration of life, like we just said. Oh, watching Astros games. What? Yes, it can be Coors Light as well. Look, if you're looking for the best way to enjoy a game, let's go. It just doesn't matter what you're doing. Even if you're just sitting around doing nothing, let's enjoy a cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. Be refreshed with cold, clean, crisp, refreshing. I hope you got them on hand for your buddies when they come over because that's something that you got to have. Cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. Climb on.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's talk a little Texans, the fallout. I'm seeing so many stats offensively, defensively. The Texans, I just saw stats about the Texans' defensive penalties over the last 3 years, and they're not disciplined. They're roughing the passer penalties.
Yeah.
And all of the stuff going on with, it's a recurring thing. It happened again. You know, offense actually was much better penalty wise on Monday night as opposed to what the defense did. They were bad defensively. They had a boatload of penalties that led to first downs. Is the defense a problem?
No, I don't think they're a problem.
Okay.
I don't think they're a problem. It's hard to say they're a problem. I think they could potentially have a difficult time stopping a run. I think the linebackers have been overrated by the head coach and by members of the fan base and media. I think those are just real average guys, to be honest with you. I don't think they get off blocks as well as they should. And then that's unfortunate because you don't have defensive tackles. Your defensive tackles are made to get up the field. You don't have anybody to really plug it up. You know, you don't. They have not. Like when they were re-signing free agents, they kept re-signing everyone they already had. Mario, and then they brought Sheldon Rankins back, and they're the same type of defensive tackle. And I kept thinking, Folu Fatukasi, who is supposed to be a little sturdier against the run, he wasn't on Monday. And I kept thinking, man, they really need like a true nose. They need somebody who can really eat up blocks. They don't have that. No. They've got a bunch of three techniques playing, basically, and they got upfield players. They don't have two-gap players, meaning control the block. They don't have a two-gapper. They're all one-gappers, and it was bad against the Bucs. So I went back and watched y'all 22, and offensively, let me tell you a big problem that no one's talking about because they probably just don't know this. The separation by the receivers is bad. Bad, bad, bad. Some of them are really basic routes, and I don't like to get into route combinations and route this and that, and you know, people like to get too far into it. But I will say, it's pretty basic route from a route break standpoint. It's one break and that's it. So you either win at the separation point, or you're going to have guys all over you. And they really miss the separation talent of Tank Dell. They really do. I wasn't expecting to say that, but when I'm watching, I'm like, Higgins and Hutchinson and Nico. Nico's not really a separator. That's not his game. Yeah. You know, he needs to get the legs moving. He's not a player who's going to be short area. I knew that coming out of college. He's not a short area separator. What he needs to do is run over routes, post routes, because he's a build-up speed player. So now you got these three big wide receivers on the field at the same time, and none of them can separate. Higgins isn't separating underneath. Hutchinson didn't. So they had guys all over them. Yeah. And then when they were open against zone, either CJ didn't throw an anticipatory throw in the window,
or
they ran through the window.
Yes, yes.
Like Hutchinson, that was a terrible
Hutchinson
one.
Did. It was awful.
Dude, you're not a rookie, Hutchinson. Sit down.
I mean, that was, you got to sit down in the zone, and it was just, I think it was Hutchinson, not CJ.
It was. That was Hutchinson. CJ threw to
okay, I went back and watched every single pass.
Yep.
And I was like, after the first two drives, I was like, how in the hell did he have 42%
pressure? I'll give you my username and password for NFL Plus, and you can go watch Coach's tape on it.
Yeah. Well, I watched all 20. I watched all 22.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Well, Yeah. I watched it from the side, though. I watched it from the side.
Oh, the not, side angle. Oh, yeah. You can still see. Oh, well, yeah. That's all you need.
Yeah. So, I was like, how in the hell did he have 42% pressure rate? Because the first two drives, he didn't have any. I know that they counted the screen pass to Chubb as a pressure. That's not a pressure. It's a screen pass.
Yeah, you got
to
watch. You know, the offensive line wasn't as terrible as people think.
No, it wasn't.
It really wasn't.
Well, now, in the second half,
it really
wasn't. Bowles dialed it up.
Bowles, yeah. They had to blitz. Now, there was so.
They did have to blitz, and they were successful blitzing.
So they ran over, they ran through the face of Ogunbowale for a sack. You had the left guard Tomlinson got beaten by Kalijah Kancey once badly, and then number 90, I think Logan Hall also beat him lost individually. You had Patterson get whipped by Greg Gaines one time. So you had some individual losses, but it wasn't. And if you watch it, John, you saw it wasn't as bad as everyone thinks it was.
No,
it really wasn't.
Now I will say, Dari got blown up.
Dari got blown up.
And put two guys into one gap hole, and they're done.
Yeah.
Although Woody Marks came up.
Woody and Nick Chubb did a great job.
Woody Marks went from on the other side of the tackle.
And chopped him.
Oh, yeah. What a beautiful play.
But notice that, you know, Nick Chubb is a phenomenal pass pro guy, too. Woody did a great job. Nick Chubb did a great job. It pretty much needs to just be those two guys playing right now.
I don't know why Dari's on the field. I know they love him.
I know, but he can play special teams.
You know what? They got to take him off the field. He can't be on
Woody
the field.
Woody's a better runner. Woody's better on third downs. Woody's got to be getting the rest of those carries other than Nick Chubb.
What did you think of Thomas? The PFF grades, I'd take him with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
But Tomlinson was really bad. Tomlinson was
Lakin wasn't good.
No.
Lakin, I thought Ed Ingram was actually okay.
Yeah.
Patterson was okay. I thought they worked their double teams really well in the run game. Tomlinson and And Ursary, you know, Ursary had a decent game.
He did have a good game.
I didn't hate Ursary. I think Ursary's going to be okay. I thought Titus Howard really hung in there. It doesn't always look pretty with him, but he hung in there and played pretty well. I'm glad you saw the same thing. I talked to John Harris briefly. I said, you know, Johnny, I said, I didn't think the offensive line's been that terrible. He goes, I know, right? Everyone's just saying. And I said, it's become the narrative. And, you know, and I had some thoughts on it watching the game, like, man, the offensive line. Then when you watch it on tape, you realize, you know, some of it is on running back. Some of it is CJ just has to start stepping up. He has to learn to slide forward
okay,
to get rid of the ball.
But Kaylee can do something too. Man, they hit that out to Woody. And never went back to it. I mean, when you got Woody out there on one-on-one.
With a swing pass on the running back?
It was an out route.
The
long one. The long one was an out route. And I'm like, what? Why would you not? And another thing is, Nico's intermediate routes are way down. Way down. Why not? I swear. I know he doesn't have time, I guess. But you can move the pocket or play. And by the way, he is so predictable. If he's under center, they're running the ball. If he's in shotgun, they're throwing the ball. The stats are ridiculous. Under center, they run the ball 67% of the time. In shotgun, they throw 87% of the time. Yeah. You got to change this stuff up. You can't do this. And it's almost I hate to criticized so early, but it's almost like you got Slowick here still.
Well, so
it's not any different.
You know, I don't mind running the ball out of from under center, because you know how it is. It's hard to drop back, but what they're doing is they're trying to set up the play action. You have to run it effectively though.
But then use the play action.
Yeah. Well, they did, and they got sacked on one, which I thought I saw a little misdirection, a little counter misdirection. I thought, ooh, that is a really
Lance. Their play action rate right now, I think, just 14%.
Well, it's
the lowest in the league.
Yeah, I just don't think they believe that they can run the football. I mean, your play action doesn't work if the other team doesn't buy it, the linebackers aren't diving down on the run.
Well, but if you're running the ball from under center, then do some. At least try. At least, I mean, it's just maybe you'll hold the line.
Well, let me ask you something. If you know you're going to pass, why would you pass from under center when the drops are longer for you?
You can roll out.
My biggest problem is, first of all, I think, they need Christian Kirk. They got to get Hutchinson off the field.
Yeah.
Hutchinson's not good enough. They have too many big guys who can't get open. They need him. And honestly, I'd like to see Jalen Noel a little bit. You got to find somebody who's got a little juice, because these guys don't have any short area quickness, and they were blanketed for a lot of the game. It's not great from a separation standpoint.
And I think I saw you like a post by somebody that said it's just different without Tank.
Yeah,
and
it
one
is.
Of the reasons is that Tank separated.
Tank was a great separator. You know, Tank ran a 4.5 in his first 40-yard attempt at the combine. Then he ran, which I was like, what? Then he ran into 4.4s. Jalen Noel ran a 4.39. He did all this stuff. But honestly, Tank looks faster than Jalen Noel because Tank has short area juice. They miss rookie Tank. I don't know what happened last year. Tank couldn't get target. I don't know what the deal was. Tank played a chunk of last year before he got hurt, and he just wasn't really a factor. And I think we were all surprised about that. But they really missed that one guy with wiggle who CJ could get to on man-to-mans. You need a man-beater. That was the guy. Zone? Oh, the Texans should be fine against zone. Against man coverage right now, they really miss having a man-beater, a guy who can really win man routes. And Tank was that guy. Maybe Jalen Noel would be that guy, but right now he's not playing. And somebody in the media asked about rookies. You know, when do rookies earn your respect or earn your trust? And CJ and D'Amico said, they have my trust. We trust them already. He said, all those guys, those three guys, you know, Jaden Higgins, Jalen Noel, and Woody Marks, they all have our trust. And I think Noel may start getting the game, but, you know, it may just be a matter of Christian Kirk, maybe Braxton Berrios. You know, he's a little wily little white slot. Well, he's not white, technically. Is he, Dell? Is he Braxton Berrios? No, that's... Well, we can claim him.
I mean, if you want to call him
white,
he
Cuban?
Can. I don't think it's Cuban. I don't know if it's Puerto Rican or something, but he is not a Hunter Renfro.
He's got some sabor. He's got some flavor.
Yeah, he's not Hunter Renfro, yeah.
Well, we could use a Hunter Renfro, but the good Hunter Renfro, not the one who keeps getting cut for some reason.
Yep. All right, let's break. 713-780-3776. Time to talk a little John Daspit. And when we come back, take your call, 713-780-3776.
Hey, you know, property loss because security issues. Did you know that that's recoverable? John Daspit has done that before. He's done that for people here in Houston at an apartment complex where they had an issue. And, oh, it was a big to-do that he had to work on. And John just went to work. Like, that was a battle he had to take on, and he won. There's a lot of them where it's a matter of, you know, like refinery blasts and a lot of these things that happen along the water. A lot of times they're pretty serious, and it's a matter of John Daspit taking the time to make sure that everything is accounted for, and then also make sure that he fights for your pain and suffering, and your time missed from work, or your time missed from work, short term or long term. And for some people, they'll never be able to work in their field again because the injury is just too severe. You want somebody who's on your side because there's going to be one payout for that. There's going to be one payment for you and your family. And you want John Daspit fighting for you. And that's the guy that you always want because he has a great winning percentage. And he doesn't just settle for settling. He wants to make sure that he wins for you and doesn't just sit here and work with the insurance company to try to just get to the next thing. He wants to win because you're his client, not the insurance company. It's John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. They are fighting for you. They are on your side. 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW or go to DaspitLaw.com.
Houston's independent voice for sports. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dell, I saw a video yesterday that was disturbing about your team. At the end of the game, Achan looks like he scores a touchdown, right? But he stepped out of bounds. And
oh my God! The mistakes at the end.
Well, wait.
I thought you had they a had
like a they had like a 9 minute delay to find out that he did step out of bounds.
Yeah,
and then they have back to back too much time penalty. You had 9 minutes to figure out your next play. It was what?
I believe it was a false start.
Yeah, but they were right down. They were at the gun though.
Yeah.
Like they were having trouble getting men on the
field.
Could,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What in the world?
In that scenario, I believe when I didn't see those first two plays, I looked back at it and I saw Waddle on the sidelines. Like, why is Waddle on the sideline late in the game? I think, yeah, the players talked about it. Tua himself talked about it after the game. Like, we had some personnel issues. He didn't. I mean, he said it without saying it, that the coaches screwed something up with their personal issues, which caused one of the delay of games. And, of course, Mike McDaniel addressed it as well. Yeah, I didn't see the game play-by-play. I was watching some other games. But, yeah, that's been kind of an issue. Time on the clock, play clock stuff, it's been an issue through McDaniel's tenure. And once that Achan thing happened, they fell apart. And then the sacks came, and that ended the game.
Mike McDaniel's now the minus 700 favorite to be first fired.
Yeah.
Right now, it's just a matter of time. Buffalo will wipe you out. Although it is the NFL, so probably Miami plays really well.
For whatever
reason,
the last couple games up there have been buzzer beaters. Now, Buffalo's won them, but they've all been like one possession games. Like last time they went up there, Buffalo won on like a 59-something yard field goal to win it the game before. I mean, it doesn't matter, cold, good weather. Up in Buffalo, those games are competitive. If we're looking for a blowout and the line is like over 12, right, or it has it dropped under, that might be a surprise. Not that Buffalo won't win, that the game might actually be competitive. Matt Milano hasn't practiced all week. Ed Oliver hasn't practiced all week. So they may be without a couple of their best defenders. So we'll see. But, yeah, he's on the verge. He'll get the Jets game because They'll have 11 days off between the Jets game, and that'll be his last stand. That's a home game. If you go 0-4 and lose to the Jets, he'll get packed up pretty quickly.
Yeah. Well, he should be the heavy favorite. I mean, that was – can you imagine if that happened here? I mean, you know, as opposed to where they don't care about their team in Miami, that it would be –
Hold on.
Nuts.
They don't care. They were flying – they flew a banner before the game saying fire McDaniel and Greer. They care. You pay for the banner. They care.
Well, you have one rich guy, that's all. Probably got a stripper pole up there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Miami has plenty of rich guys. But rich guys don't get involved in that nonsense. Some fan group got together and said, hey, let's put a banner together. Are we ever going to see a Fire D'Amico banner here flying above the stadium? No.
I'm seeing more and more. I can't believe it, but I'm seeing more and more people talking about D'Amico and criticizing D'Amico. I thought he was Teflon.
Nah.
No.
Not when your team does the same things over and over again.
No.
To lose games.
Oh no, he's going to pay for every coach coming after. That's the problem with the Texans is everyone pays for the sins of the previous. Where D'Amico's probably thinking, man, we won two division titles in a row after this team was garbage. Everything was bad. Doesn't matter. You're same old Texans. Like, whether you like it or not, whether it's on you or not, this is what we saw with Bill O'Brien, as we saw with Gary Kubiak. This is 23 years of this. So you have to deal with this.
Doesn't matter, Brian. But AFC South champions 2 years in a row, Brian.
Yeah, but you guys are back in the...
Doesn't matter what it looked like. Back in the playoffs. Looking forward to the playoffs.
Exactly.
Go ahead. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
Yes, you did.
Mm-hmm.
That was like us to Dell when Dell was trying to argue about the Astros having a disappointing season this year. Doesn't matter, Dell. Back in the playoffs.
That's right. That's what we are. Bill O'Brien.
You want to be the Bill O'Brien
era
Texans?
We are kind of the Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, we really kind of are. We're really Hall of Famers.
Because we'll also yell out, you too, mother.
Yeah, you were yelling. The social team grabbed it, put it on.
But what's Sam doing reposting something from like 3 weeks ago?
It wasn't 3 weeks ago. It was this week.
When I got mad about.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't this week.
Was that last week? That was last week, right?
Was that when I was real mad that day I was mad?
Yeah, it was mad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she's like, Lance, crash out, all that stuff. I'm like, yeah, that was last week's crash out. That doesn't count for this week.
She didn't
week.
Even use this week's when you were slamming a coffee cup and
don't say
spilled
anything about
coffee
it.
All over well, the table.
Keep it quiet.
Which record is most surprising? Cardinals 2-0, Bengals 2-0, Colts 2-0, Texans 0-2, Kansas City 0-2.
Well, Bengals 2-0, they've been based on how the games went?
No,
I would say
which
maybe
would be going into the season, which is the most surprising? Probably all Kansas City.
No, it's not. It's not. It's obviously not Cincinnati going into the season. Not the Bay. Not who else? Not the Texans.
Colts. 0-2. Colts 2-0. That's pretty surprising.
Denver and Miami. Yeah, maybe. I mean, Miami and who was the favorite? I guess Miami.
The
was
Colts
a,
were the favorite. It was a
yes,
small
Colts
favorite.
The favorite there, and then Broncos were a small favorite.
Yeah, those games are toss ups.
The Cardinals are 2-0. No one knew that.
They played the Saints and who else?
Yeah. And the Panthers.
No. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's not a surprise.
The Texans 0-2. Kansas City had the Chargers and Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean they had tough battles. I have a hard time saying Kansas City.
The Texans didn't. The Texans might be the most surprising.
They had two playoff teams.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
same not. As the
they
Chiefs.
Were a 2.5-3 point dog, and they were a 2.5-3 point favorite at home. I'm a little surprised. I didn't think they'd lose to Tampa, but it was a small number. I don't know. I feel like there's some more surprising stuff out there. Dallas lost the first week, won the second week. Oh, you've already covered the 2-0s and the 0-2s.
Yeah, the surprising ones. Anyway,
I'm a little surprised how bad the Raiders are.
Yeah, I'm surprised about that, too. I thought they'd be better.
Maybe the Vikings, too.
It's all on the quarterback, right? His ups and downs. He was not good for like three quarters against the Bears and then turned it on. He stunk against the Falcons.
And this is what, and we'll see how much patience. See, what you got to have is you got to have patience. The kid is taking his first snaps. The same way the Colts had to have time with Richardson last year because they knew he barely played his rookie season. So last year was like Anthony Richardson's rookie season, and you got to let him play it, get to a, you know, you have to let guys play. The Colts have been letting him play. Now the Colts are in a dire situation where you got jobs on the line, and the guy hasn't gotten any better, and he's always hurt. The Vikings are going to have to wait it out with their quarterback, and now he's hurt again. He missed all last year, and he's hurt again now.
What might be surprising is how good the Falcons' defense is.
Yeah.
Really good.
I tell you what, the Falcons got after them the other day. Of course, the Vikings have been bad in 7 of 8 quarters, so maybe they're just not very good.
The top defense is in havoc. Percentage of plays, the defense gets a pressure, tackle for loss, forced fumble, interception, pass breakup. Atlanta's number one. Green Bay's number two. Cleveland is number three. By the way, Cleveland, if you've got a starting running back, don't play him against Cleveland because Cleveland's going to stop. And don't play your number one receiver against the Texans either. The Texans or Denver. That's a couple of hints because Stingley will shut you down, and so will Sertan, obviously.
Yeah, you don't really want it with Stingley.
Nope. Houston, as far as havoc percentage, 13th in the league, just under 40%. The worst team in the league, the Dolphins. They don't create any havoc defensively.
Which is kind of crazy because they've spent so much draft capital on pass rushers.
They're so loose in coverage that it doesn't matter what your pass rushers are when you are letting guys free. I don't know what the deal is. They were better at it last year, but they had more veteran defenders and corners last year. But Daniel Jones, you can't pressure him if there's guys running free in the short area. You can just get the ball away. So they can't create havoc if guys are open immediately. So that's their problem. Anthony Weaver has done a poor job. The personnel doesn't fit what he wants, but they're screwed anyway. So that's a different story.
Anthony Weaver here was
That was years ago, I understand.
Well, that's a funny thing too, because Fred Warner was asked about Robert Saleh returning and being the 49ers defensive coordinator, and he was like, "Man, this guy just knows everything. He's got the experience, and when you got experience, it just seems like you know what to call." That's a problem with the Texans OC. Zero experience. And this has been a learning experience for their OCs the last couple of the last 3 years now. And look what's happening with it. You haven't seen enough, and you know what? It's costing D'Amico. Not hiring a guy that's got, look at what you hire Monken in Baltimore, look what happens. Greg Roman, you hire guys that have been there and done that, and it makes a huge difference. Huge difference. And the Texans don't do that. All right, let's break. Let's talk a little. What you knew about Walmart, right, Lance?
Yeah, I knew about Walmart. What I did, actually, last year, I got my son Mason needed a new, we got twin beds, so we needed a new mattress. Didn't realize how easy it was going to be at Walmart. I was able to get it online. We went and picked it up, and it was the same price. And what I found out was that Walmart actually has a lot going on in terms of your ability to buy groceries, buy everything at the Walmart for regular prices, for the same prices. They don't alter the prices. They've got 500 million items online. And unlike other grocery stores, Walmart's grocery prices are the same for delivery as they are in store. Let me say that again. The same for delivery as they are in store. They don't alter them. When it comes to feeding your family, if you got that big tailgate coming up, you got a big party that you want to throw, it doesn't matter. Think Walmart for all of your grocery needs. And did you know Walmart can deliver in as fast as an hour? So you're not going to be waiting all day. You can get that in as fast as an hour. Fees and terms apply. Use Express Delivery to get all the eligible things you need from Walmart, from groceries to home goods to prescriptions. Get them all wrapped up in one big package and get that within an hour, subject to availability. Learn more at Walmart.com. The Walmart you thought you knew is now new. Who knew?
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Astros win last night, 6-5. Astros pulling away now from the Rangers. I believe tonight's game decides the Silver Boot. If I'm not mistaken, I think they're 6-6 right now against each other.
We're boot havers, though.
Well, we own the boot.
Yeah.
I mean, Is there a more prestigious award in all of sports?
No. Oaken Bucket, maybe, in Big Ten.
The old Oaken Bucket?
Yeah. Minnesota and Purdue, something like that.
Somebody, no one knows. It's impossible to know who plays for that.
Golden Apple, Washington State, something like that.
Apple Cup.
Yeah, Apple Cup.
Yep, that's prestigious.
Yeah. A.J. Blue Ball was fantastic. Gave up just 2 hits, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts.
Man, his stuff is good.
Yeah. 50 pitches over 3 innings. Then they brought in Colton Gordon, and he gave up. It was like, But then Murray came in. He was nice.
Gordon got squeezed a little from time to time by that ump on the lower portion of the plate. But, I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, 3 innings, he gave up a run. That's fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's fine. I mean, and then Murray came in and yelled, "Woo, yikes." That was scary. And Abreu had to go across innings on top of everything else. He gave up another 3 hits and a walk. He had 4 base runners. Dude, Brian Abreu has had so many base runners lately. It's just scary.
Yep.
You can't keep – I know he can get out of it with strikeouts. I believe there was a point last week where – he led all relievers in majors in strikeouts. But I'm not sure if he still does. But you can't live like this. Brian Abreu is just so, so scary when he's out there. He can't keep up. It seems like, he's throwing such meat up there sometimes. They look so comfortable up there against him. I don't know why. How can you lead the league in strikeouts and everybody just seems to be so comfortable? I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't either. And this is one of the things that's probably bothered me the most about this Astros season is the lack of consistency that they are showing. It's one thing to have an up and down, to be a little up and down from a season standpoint. I mean, it's a long season, 162. You'll have many seasons inside the season, but the Astros' inconsistencies from Fromber, and look, you had a little bit of a little hiccup from Hunter Brown, but that's to be expected. Fromber has really turned into, this has now become inconsistency. Your bullpen, inconsistent. Great first half of the year, bat, really.
Well, you have lost a lot of bullpen, though. Let's not forget. Yeah,
no, but before you lost them, they were really trailing down after that Dodger game. The second half of the year, they had really Okert, King, remember King was really not good. Like the bullpen, the stats were the Astros were one of the best before the break and one of the worst after.
Yeah.
And that was the stats.
Well, you lose Josh Hader and.
I'm not even talking about closing, but yes. Yeah. Losing Hader pushed everyone into new roles a little bit.
Yeah. And, well, not only that, but.
Jeremy's been consistent and solid.
Jeremy Pena? Oh, yeah. All year? Yeah.
Yeah.
Pena's been great. He's hitting over 300. Jake's still hitting over 300. What? Jake is still hitting over 300. He came back and he's still raking.
I don't even think about Jake anymore. Yeah. I'm on to Zach Cole.
What do you mean?
I'm on to Zach Cole.
Don't just kick him to the curb.
Yeah, just like,
I haven't learned. Lance is a bit of a hoe.
Yeah, you kind of is.
I'm not loyal.
No,
you ain't.
Not at
that
all.
Hoe ain't loyal.
Not at all. You're a bit of a hoe when it comes to players.
Look at what you've lost from your bullpen already. Well, Walter was a starter. You lost Hader. You lost Sousa. You lost Blanco. You lost Ort. You lost Eric Geddy, but he was a starter. You lost Wisniewski. He was a starter. Thankfully, you lost Taylor Scott. Who else? You had Neris. Don't forget. You had Van Wey. There's some guys I don't even remember. John Rooney. You remember John Rooney?
What?
Yeah.
I remember him. He made one appearance and had elbow inflammation.
That's it. He was done.
Did he really?
Yes.
Jordan Weems. Remember Jordan Weems?
Yeah, I do remember Jordan Weems. Wow.
Yeah,
well, that's a blast from the past.
It's this year, but these are all the guys that you've. How do you take all of this out of your rotation and your bullpen and still and still you're still where you're at, just a half game out. I'm telling you, Joe Espada is he's a miracle worker. They might name the trophy after him.
Which
manager
trophy?
Of the year.
Oh, okay.
Manager of the year.
After one manager of the year award, he gets the trophy named after him.
Yeah.
Who has the name right now? Who's he taking it away from?
No one knows. The Casey Stengel? No one knows. You never know. It's impossible to know.
Joe Espada was fine. He's fine.
Joe's done a great job.
He's done a nice job. He's not manager of the year now.
But manager of the year, yeah. Yeah. There, I said it.
No, I know you said it.
Yeah, we heard you.
I heard you say it. I just don't think winning 87 games is going to get him manager of the year.
With all the injuries.
Hitting his over-under in Vegas is not going to be manager of the year stuff.
Well, let's see who's manager of the year favorite.
He's been good.
No, he was absolutely the favorite for a while.
Yeah, so far, looking at since they started giving out the award. Well, actually, let me take that back. The guys who won it last year were Stephen Voit, from the Guardians, and Pat Murphy.
Pat Murphy's going to win this year.
John Schneider from the Toronto is probably going to win it. Yeah, he's tops, minus 250. A.J. Hinch is plus 220. The spot is plus 1,000.
Wait, but where's Murphy from?
He's in the
Milwaukee.
They have two National League.
Oh, you're just doing the American League Manager of the Year. Okay.
Wait, why don't they just give it out? It's one league. Why is it two awards?
And they have interleague play.
Yeah.
I don't know why there is two awards.
Why is the NL and AL manager of the year?
How about Pat Murphy and then their former manager, Craig Counsell, second?
Yeah. Good luck with that Espada bet.
Where's Scott Service? Is he going to get manager of the year?
He does not manage
right
now. Man, I love that guy. He's a good dude. Nice guy.
He's terrible. No one even knew Stephen Vogt.
I prayed on his downfall,
managing.
Too.
You pray on a lot of
people's
downfall.
On his downfall.
Maybe you should have kept him around because the Astros win divisions when he's around. Now we got to hope this new guy in Seattle doesn't fix whatever was their issue, keeping them from winning one, choking down the stretch like they've done in the past. I would actually like Scott Service back because with him around, I knew the Astros were going to win the division. That man couldn't get his team up to win a big series.
That is kind of true. That is kind
and
of
if
true.
He's up, then he's stuck.
Thank you, Cardi.
No. What?
He just uttered a line that Cardi B has uttered before.
Well, just when I think of baseball, I think Cardi B.
You do? No.
Yep. Borigua.
What do you think Fromber's ERA is now?
Fromber's still in the mid threes now, about 3.6, 3.5.
3.59.
Yeah.
Hunter Brown, 2.27.
Yep.
Yep. I mean, Hunter Brown has been.
I still don't see any way forward unless Fromber somehow magically gets it together. And this just seems like he's just opened a can of quit. I mean, he's just mean mugging everything. Some of it may be physical. Maybe he's tipping pitches. Maybe he just is just mad at the whole organization and he just can't focus and bear down. But I don't know how you. I really don't know how you win with Jason Alexander and Blue Ball and who am I missing? The Blue Ball just started, but Jason Alexander, who am I missing from a starting standpoint?
Right now you got Alexander.
Well, you only have three anyway at the most.
Well, that's it. If you move on, you're going to need four starters.
If you move on.
Well, you're not even – you don't even think you're going to move on.
Well, you had a better team last year, and you got wiped out at home two straight.
Well, that's because you couldn't win at home then.
Well, you had Struble, and you were in Struble.
Maybe you didn't see the last two nights.
And you don't play the Rangers.
Well, that's one of the great teams in baseball.
No, I don't actually. And, and Fromber's probably pitching that second game. You can say what you want, but Fromber's not. They're not pitching Jason.
Alexander's pitching the second game.
They're not pitching Alexander in front of Fromber.
Well, especially if you lose the first one.
Yeah, Joe Espada's not going to do that.
If you lose the first
one. I know who the better pitcher is right now, but Joe Espada's not going to do that. He's going to pitch Fromber second, and you just got to – well, I guess you still have Christian Javier is the other starter. But it's like I've kind of just given up on good Javier. You just have to hope his stuff looks average and he still no-hits people for five innings. Because I haven't seen his stuff look electric at all, not since he's been back. And I'm like, oh, he didn't give up any – wow, no hits in six innings. That's pretty good.
You know what else is pretty good? Craig DeSurf.
Yeah, Craig DeSurf is great. They have actually, they've got a big event coming up at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, and you can go check out the website for that, where they do the big, they do a big car show that's really, really well. It's the Camel. It's the Cornfield. Wait, it's Cornfield and Camelot. It's Craig does a lot of really fun stuff, and if you go out to Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, you'll see exactly what I mean. They've got free concert coming up October 3rd. Terry Rogers is going to be out there 6 to 9 p.m. It's Friday night with Evelyn Rubio, so they're doing that for you. You've got the 8th Annual Classic Car Show. It's called Coachella. Carcella in the Cornfield. That had to be a young person who thought of that one. It's from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's the 8th Annual Classic Car Show. That is a blast. That's a lot of fun. They've got food trucks out there, multiple food trucks that are really good. They've got craft fair, got some coffee out there for you as well. Tons of different awards. A concert on that Friday night before, as I just mentioned. But on Saturday, you see some of the coolest shows that you're going, or some of the coolest cars that you're going to see. I mean, it's really awesome. I didn't grow up a car guy, and I've been out there three different times, and I've been blown away at how awesome these cars are. They got the owners that are sitting right out there. You can ask them questions. You can look inside the cars. It's just a fun little time. If you love cars, it's a great time to go out there, enjoy it. You got the food trucks. You got a good time for kids. It's a great family event, and it's going to be October 4th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Don't forget that concert Friday night from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. Have some fun out there. Head on out to Angleton. And while you're there, take a look at some cars as well. You know, they got great cars. But go enjoy this event, because nobody throws a party better than Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC.